I'm Taylor Stafford, and this is Talk Taboo.
Yeah! Come on over!
We ask a lot of people if they like their asshole touch.
We really are breaking down stigmas. It's everything sex.
Which means we leave this area. If you do not do so, you may be arrested or subject to other police action. Other police action could include the use of handcuffs or less lethal conditions, which may include
Okay.
I gave all my shit away. I have first aid shit in my bag. But that's about it.
I was like, what the fuck happened? And I went up talking to the medics. And I guess she took a flashbang to the chest.
Yes, yeah. And she was not looking too hot, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, that's what I was scared about. And then all the medics were with her. So I ran back in there with another medic.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Talk Taboo. I'm Taylor Stafford. I'm your host. We are not really breaking down sexual stigmas today, but definitely talking about some very important issues that are going on in the world right now that mostly include all of the Black Lives Matter protests, marches, basically this whole uproar from George Floyd's death, which is really what kind of triggered it this time. I just want to start off by saying that I don't ever want to sit here as a white female in America and speak for any of the Black population. It's not my place. It's not my voice that needs to be heard. Today I am speaking from my point of view. I've been at the Seattle protest every single day that I have not been working. I've seen a lot of shit, especially last night. We had a pretty rough Sunday evening, and night, but, like I said, I don't want to speak for other people, but I also know that I have a lot of white people that listen to this podcast, also people in other countries. This is an international podcast, no matter how small it is, but it is. And I'm just here to talk about my experience through this whole thing and what you people can do that are sitting at home and seeing all of this go on, not knowing what to believe, what is fake, what is not. I have a few points that I just want to bring up and talk about. I just want to start with this one because it's kind of on my mind. Last night was Sunday. What is it, the 7th or... I don't even know. The days are flying. The crowd was different last night. This weekend, it's been real different than the weeks. People are more and more pissed off every fucking day. The more that we are being lied to about this whole, we're not macing people, we're not doing tear gas. Tear gas was banned for 30 days. That's a fucking joke. And so people are already not trusting the government, not trusting our elected officials. Just those of you who don't know. So I'm mostly going to just speak to the Seattle area because that's what I know, because I've been there. It's not appropriate for me to speak to other areas when I haven't seen it myself. But the Seattle mayor banned in little quotes, and you can't see me, but little quotes, tear gas for 30 days to protect protesters that were peaceful and just holding up their Fifth Amendment right to free speech. They gassed on Saturday, and last night was... I'm almost speechless about it. It's like I have so many words and I have no words at all. It's hard to find a middle ground right now. They not only tear gassed everyone last night, they did rubber bullets, flash grenades, they arrested people. The biggest thing that really hit me last night was a 20-year-old female got a flash bomb grenade to the chest. When I saw civilians carrying her out, I immediately went up to see if I could help. There were tons of paramedics with her. I would probably say like 10 paramedics, give or take. I got a little bit of it on video. You can't really see that well. I was trying to help and also document. It was just really fucking chaotic. But she was going in and out of consciousness when I saw her. I found out today, one of the paramedics that was with her, they did CPR multiple times on the scene. She was losing her breath. I mean, she got a flash grenade to the chest. So, I mean, we could be talking collapsed lung. I mean, that kind of blow, depending on how close the police were when they shot it at her, could have caused the heart to have an arrhythmia. I think she was also losing a lot of blood, definitely needed severe medical attention. And with the chaos, they called 911 when she coded the first time and stopped breathing and they lost her pulse. It was very difficult for, ambulances and stuff to come into the scene. And it's just really chaotic because there's people running everywhere, just helping each other out. I went with a different medic at that time to go help other people since there were enough people there. And once you get too many people there, it becomes less productive. You have to manage more people. They ended up putting her in one of their cars and taking her to the hospital. As that happened at like, what, 1 p.m. or something last night. And as of right now, we have not heard if she is okay or not. I'm really, really, really hoping that she's okay and that she's gonna make it. I didn't agree with some of the things that the protesters were doing. If you go to one of these things, even like the Black people that are all from different organizations or different activists have different ideas on how they think this should be. Yesterday, people were extra pissed because they used tear gas the night before. They were also pissed because they put together these like big steel like blockades. And a few of the construction workers that were just in the crowd went and inspected them and gave his construction license and all this shit to show he's like, I'm legit. And a few of the other ones went over there. They were poorly put together. He was saying that if he showed up to an event with the way that these were put together, then his company would probably be sued. There's a lawsuit waiting to happen. So the police just put these together to keep people away from them that were very unsafe. They're very heavy. And if they fall, they could crush people. Protesters dismantled them with their hands. Literally took apart these massive, massive fucking steel, I think they're steel, metal, what the fuck ever, barricades, and dismantled them with their hands. Like, no tools, no fucking anything, and just, dismantled them and stacked them up and then moved them aside. And was like, since you're not gonna fucking keep us safe, we're gonna keep ourselves safe. So people were really angry about that. I think I saw a lot more people yesterday that were just fucking angry at how everything has been happening. So because they tore those things down, there was no barricade between the protesters and the police, which already you're like, this feels different. It's not gonna be pretty. The protesters were just like, sorry, I'm like talking with my hands, but you guys can't see me. Were like nose to nose with these fucking officers. I was like at the front lines seeing this. And I was like, you could see the police. You could see you were so fucking close to them. People were yelling in the police officer's face. And it just felt like, fuck, like the police officers, they feel intimidated, they feel threatened, and it wasn't gonna end up in our favor. One thing I want to say about that, people often look at these protesters or people that are getting in the police officer's face and yelling at them as criminal behavior. And I really challenge you to look at them as hurting people. You know, working on a psych unit, I see a lot of very, very hurt people, and they're aggressive because they are in so much pain. They have been hurt so many times. Like, I show up to this event and I'm supporting them, but there are people at these events who've lost their family members to police brutality, their own family members that were unarmed, not breaking a single law, and police have killed their family members, their best friends, people in their community. You forget that these people have such a strong connection to what is happening here. And they might be in their face, and we'll talk about how someone threw a water bottle or a glass bottle at one of them. And it's like, they are hurting for years and years and years. And they are so fucking tired of hurting for no one doing anything about it. You might see criminal behavior. I see fucking pain. I mean, I was watching a live stream. This was after flash grenades had gone on for a fucking hour. And this guy was just live streaming, just yelling at the police, like, so, like, brutal things, so fucking upset, just gassed up, man. And you just hear him on the live stream just stop yelling and just breaking down and crying because he is just so emotional and so hurt. And people say really bad things when they're hurt. And that's a human thing. We do that. We blame people for things. We say terrible things. I mean, how many times have one of you guys gotten in a fight with someone and said something that maybe you didn't mean, but these people mean it? You know, they're saying these things because they're so fucking hurt. I don't know how many times I can say that, but I'm probably going to keep telling it and keep saying it. They're so hurt. So hurt. Seattle Police Department had orders, we found out today. I found out today. I don't know when other people found out. That they were allowed to use... So tear gas was not banned, only one kind of tear gas. There's three different kinds of tear gas. One is pepper spray, two are different kinds of chemicals. I think one's called CN, probably for carbon nitrate or whatever. Whatever, three different kinds, different chemical compounds. One of them was banned, not sure which one. It wasn't probably the pepper spray one because we got fucking gas with pepper spray. And the police were instructed that they could use force and gas if they felt their life was at risk and if they felt they were in danger. Okay. So I don't agree with our homie in the back that threw a glass bottle at the police side. Not, I can have all the opinions I want on it. Okay, great. Some people agree with it. Some people don't. What the fuck ever. You have a bunch of civilians. Their biggest weapon apparently is a water bottle or a glass bottle. I think it was like a Starbucks, like, you know, those cold brew bottle things. In front of these police and military, National Guard, that have guns, batons, gas, flash grenades, weapon on weapon on fucking weapon, decked out in gear. They've got all their, I don't even know what that's called, their helmets are on, their bulletproof vests are on, they have their face shield covered, they got gas masks on, they have the whole fucking thing, and you are telling me that a glass bottle is threatening you. And that you feel that your life is at risk. I watched a girl almost fucking die And we still don't know if she's fucking alive or not. Die. Code. CPR. Because you fucking thought your life was at risk from a fucking glass bottle. When you're pointing your fucking grenades at people that are running away. At medic tents. Bombing medic tents. The same tent that that chick that got a flash grenade to the chest was trying to be revived at. Don't fucking feed me this bullshit that you thought your life was at risk. I'm going to read you what this medic that was helping that girl flash grenade to the chest wrote on Reddit today. You can find it under Seattle, and it was posted by The River in Egypt. It says, folks, I need your help. The last 2 days I've been volunteering as a medic at the protests on Cap Hill. Yesterday evening, when the police decided to disperse the crowds, I was treating a young woman in our first aid center who had been sprayed with pepper spray. The SPD used flash bang grenades close enough to us that I felt it against the back of my neck. Tonight, my partner and I were treating a young woman in her 20s who had taken a police projectile to her chest. We had her on a cot and she was struggling to breathe. The police advanced and we were attempting to evacuate her using the cot as a makeshift stretcher. The police threw at least 2 and possibly as many as 4 flashbang grenades inside of the small area of our first aid center while we were trying to retreat. With the help of our protesters, we carried the cot for several blocks, trying to get out of the way of the police and to a place where we could treat her safely. Shortly after we managed to find a place where we felt safe enough to treat her, she stopped responding and we lost her pulse. We initiated CPR, and after a minute or two, she gasped for breath and became responsive for a short time. That cycle repeated itself more than a half a dozen times in the following 15 to 20 minutes. We called 911 immediately after the first time we lost her pulse, and we were informed after some time that the ambulance was not able to reach us. We managed to figure out a civilian vehicle to transport her to the emergency department and were able to deliver to the ED with a pulse. I was honestly terrified the entire time that we were going to lose her, and even now I have no idea if the emergency department was able to stabilize her. I can only hope that we were able to get her there on time. All of this, however, is just to explain the urgency of my request. The police are absolutely aware of the location of our first aid center. Last night, I was upset by the overrun of our location and put myself and other medical volunteers at risk. But tonight, we almost lost a patient, a young woman in her early 20s, because the police continue to refuse to acknowledge or respect life-saving work that we are trying to do. So I am pleading with all of you, please call the mayor and the city council and tell them to insist that police respect the first aid centers and medical personnel who are volunteering their time and safely in order to protect the loss of our lives. It is difficult enough to provide medical care in an often chaotic environment that exists there today. When medics and first aid stations are targeted by police, it becomes nearly impossible. I am home right now after a very difficult day and night of volunteering, and I can say without question that without my partner, another nurse, and even a few concerned citizens who came to our aid, a young woman would be dead tonight. Like I said, we don't have to agree with what everyone's doing. And verbal violence at the front lines to the police officers may be over the line for some people. Maybe not, I don't know. But people don't deserve to die. This is exactly why people are protesting. Exactly why. They kill people. And they're allowed to kill people in this country. I want to address the argument, to play devil's advocate here, of people talking about how these protesters are vandalizing property, because that's been a big discussion as well, especially after last weekend with Minneapolis and Seattle lighting Nordstrom and Targets and whatever on fire. The only reason that the police are even there at these protests are because they are standing out front of the police department in Cap Hill. They're there to protect their police department. I have different opinions on how I feel about property destruction, right? Just as everyone else will. However, they have made it very clear. So let's just say, they go home. Please leave. We're fine. No one's fucking up property. No one's doing anything like that, okay? They go home. Let's just say some violent protesters, whatever, decide to fuck up the police station. They raid it. They destroy it. They light it on fire. Okay. Worst case scenario. You're telling me that their police, their precinct, is more important than people's lives, as they damn near killed a 20-year-old female, not doing anything besides standing up for people who are dying. You're telling me that that precinct is more important, that property is more important than people's lives. Now, if you are one of those people that think property is more important and we have to defend our property, I'm not here to shit on you. I'm here to ask you to go inside yourself, whether that be turning to your religion, if that's the thing that you do, or your core values, and just asking yourself, is property, just this question, is property more important than people's lives? One of the things that I've heard recently from a white folk that I know, a couple days ago, he was, hadn't even heard about George Floyd's murder, and didn't know what was going on. Someone was explaining to him about how the cop had his knee on his neck and he died. And the first question that he asked was, well, was he doing something illegal? Great question. Racist question also. Does it matter if he killed someone? George Floyd killed someone. Does it matter? We have this thing called a legal system where you get a fair trial of your peers and you have a lawyer, and there's a system in place for the people to determine what his punishment will be. And last I checked, the police officer's job was to arrest someone, bring them into custody for their crime, and let the rest of the people do their own fucking jobs. So last I checked, it's not the police officer that gets to decide what that guy's punishment is for whatever he did. Could someone in this crowd of protesters say, you know, you killed my cousin, you broke the law, I guess it's in my hands now to kill you? What do you think would fucking happen? We have these policies in place for a fucking reason. No, now I would just like, for those of you who still don't know about George Floyd in your white picket fence houses, they thought he was using a counterfeit $10 bill. So no, he did not murder anybody. He did not break the law. He did not have a weapon. But even if he did, you still don't get to kill him. Still don't get to. Well, apparently you do get to. I'm not really sure. I've been going back and forth about this idea. Are all cops bad cops? We've been seeing this a lot. ACAB, all cops are bastards. And I used to say, no, there are some good cops out there. Because there are, I will say that. However, if you are a police officer currently, and you're standing on the other line of those protesters, and you are shooting bullets and flash grenades at people, you are just as bad. If you are standing next to them, supporting them, you are the fucking problem. There is, I think about it this way, there's a lot of fucked up psych facilities in this country. Things that I don't agree with, that I'm not going to do. There's a policy that says that I give a kid or an adult a chemical restraint and they just plop to the floor. I'm not gonna do it because I don't agree with that. They don't have to be in their jobs. They don't have to be on the other side right now. 30% of the fucking population doesn't have a job. Welcome to unemployment. Another point. It's just all about the points today. I've been talking about this a lot. Just the actions that the police are doing and the lack of education around it and the lack of, licensed personnel. We've been talking a lot about how police get 2 weeks of training or whatever weeks of training. They're coming on the microphones and asking people to stop putting flowers in front of them. I'm just a psych nurse, okay? I've only been in my job for a year and a half. And I know that the way that they're talking to people is never going to resolve anything. Why do we not fucking have, I don't know, maybe behavioral psychologist, social psychologist, who spend approximately 11 years of their life studying this kind of shit and how to best handle crowds that are throwing glass bottles at you and are in your face and want something and hate you and don't respect you. They spend their entire lives studying this shit. Hostage negotiators, like people that are thoroughly trained in this. Why the fuck have you not brought in anyone that is more qualified than you to dismantle a situation? I've been talking to a lot of people about this, and the best answer that I got was, well, yeah, Taylor, that's the point. That all they know is force, and so that's all that they are trained to do is force, and they are so in their own ways that they can't even ask for help unless it's from the National Guard, who will also help with force. It's just the more that I'm there and the more that I'm learning, the more I'm realizing how fucked up this system is and how ignorant I am. So I wrote a post today. I'm gonna read it. It was longer, but I had to shorten it. I didn't realize Instagram had like a link that you can put on there. Sorry, there's planes and shit in the background. Okay. I wrote, I've never viewed myself as an ignorant person. I can give you a million reasons why I don't think I'm ignorant. However, this week, I've realized that for every reason I believe that I'm not ignorant is another reason why I am, in fact, ignorant. If you are a white person in America, you are probably ignorant to some of the issues of racism and police brutality as well. But we can do better. I can't sit here and speak for Black people in this country, but I can speak as a white woman in this country. Racism is really uncomfortable for white people to talk about, and it's even more uncomfortable to talk to a Black person about it. We don't know what to say, we don't know what not to say, we don't want to say something and offend anybody, and we sure as hell do not want to say something that makes us look racist, which we commonly do, not even knowing it. But this week I've learned that we don't have to say anything. We listen, we learn, we hear their stories, we validate their feelings, we nod our heads, and we really, truly ingest their words. We don't have to understand where someone is coming from to show them that we care. Every day I go to work and I hear the most devastating of stories. Little girls tell me about the story when they were raped. Little boys tell me stories of their child abuse. I may have never been raped or abused as a child, but I still listen. I provide a space for them to be heard, to be cared for, and to heal. I may not know what it's like to be a Black person in this country, but I show up for them. Showing up at a Black Lives Matter protest the first day is uncomfortable. But the more we do it, the less uncomfortable it becomes. Doing uncomfortable things and having uncomfortable conversations is a part of life. It allows us to grow, to see different parts of the world that we didn't know existed, and pushes us out of our ignorance. I challenge each of you to show up. Go to a Black Lives Matter march. Do not simply sit behind your computer screens and try and determine what is true and what is not. See it for yourself. Do your part. Hear their stories and take a little bit of their pain away by simply listening. There are some incredible ass people out there and they deserve to be heard. This is one thing that's been a big white issue around this is what the fuck do we say? I don't understand. Sometimes we try and act like we do. We don't. We don't know what to say, what to do. I mean, I hear people saying, white people in the front, when cops are targeting us with all the shit to protect Black people. And then I hear someone else saying, white people in the back, this is not your issue. I was just joking around with some of these girls yesterday. I was telling them this and because they were talking about how great it was that, you know, white people are really putting their bodies in front of them and helping them. And I told them this. I'm like, dude, I was in the front the other day and someone was on the mic telling people to get out of the white people to get out of the front. And I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck to go. You tell me where to go. I'm here for you. I'm trying to be helpful. Don't know what to do. And it's awkward and you don't know what to do. But the point is that you're going to say the wrong thing. You are going to do the wrong thing. You're going to offend somebody. That's just life. We're trying though. I'm out there. I'm trying my best to learn. I'm trying my best to be there. My intentions are there. I'm trying. So what? You offend someone and, you know, maybe they're having a bad day because they're here and they're emotional. What? You offend someone, you apologize, you learn, and you move on and you do it differently next time. That's what you do. You don't sit at home and say, well, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'll be here watching the news. Go out there and fucking be supportive. I think one thing that the news is not showing is how much the protesters and these communities have come together. You guys, it's incredible. All day you're hearing Black people speaking about things that they think should change and their stories and how they how racism has affected them and how police brutality has affected their families. And you have medics that are out there looking ghetto as shit. Maybe ghetto is not even supposed to word that I'm supposed to say. I don't know. They have, you know, Red Cross tape on them. These aren't organizations. These are just people that are like, well, fuck. People are going to need medical attention. We might as well bring it. They're bringing shit to their tents. They've got saline. They got just all this fucking medical shit. Then you got people that are just passing out waters. You got you got food stations. They're handing out coffee. I mean, people are coming together. I mean, I stole so much fucking damn coffee from this person's tent. I'm like, I'm going to be out here all night. And they're like, this is what it's for. This is what it's for. Like, we have to make sure our needs are being met so that we can stay out here and keep fighting for what we believe in. People are taking care of each other. I mean, when those flash grenades and everything went off, I mean, everyone, whether you have a medical license or not, they are out there helping people, pouring water in people's eyes, getting the tear gas out, helping the homeless people on the side of the road. I mean, just trying to get them to wear goggles or give them earplugs because this is their home and they're gassing up their home and this gas is going to come through the city and this is their home. You know, they hang out on the side of they live on the side of the road. I mean, there's people just helping out one another like no other. I mean, people yesterday were all the way in the back of the crowd, were sending up their umbrellas and their snowboarding goggles and their snowboarding helmets all the way to the front for the people in the front in case they get fucking flash grenaded and, you know, all the shit. They're sending them up. I mean, people don't give a fuck. This is like their expensive ass equipment. And they're like, they need it up there. We want them to be safe. I mean, the amount of community. We are protecting each other. Everyone is just giving everything that they can. Every single person out there has some expertise. Whether it be the construction workers that were saying, these are unsafe for the people here, or the nurses and the medics that are like, I will bring all the crap, or just everyday people that are like, well, I can raise some donations and I'll bring some snacks for everyone so people can be here and not pass out, and here's some water. And I mean, there's people bringing their sound systems that are video producers to just help this whole community go. I mean, it's literally incredible to see how many people have come together to just allow us to be out there and fight for Black people in America, fight against police brutality. I mean, I've heard some people on the microphones talking about mental health issues and feminist issues and LGBTQ shit. And because Black people are in all of those categories, there's women Black people, there's LGBTQ Black people, there's trans Black people. I mean, it's just incredible. It's amazing to be a part of. There's some really shitty sides of it, but it has just been so incredible. I have learned so goddamn much. And this is what I'm talking about with the ignorance. It's like, I've traveled the world. I've been all over the US. I've worked in tons of different fields through my life. I work with a diverse patient population, and I still didn't know some of these things that people are showing us and telling us and talking about in their stories. I mean, you can always learn. And this is the point of ignorance, is you don't know what you don't know. And I'm here to tell you that you don't know what you don't know. Get out there. Go see it for yourself. Look at this community that has come together. This is incredible shit. Incredible. I have met so many awesome ass people. And some of them I'm going to shout out because they've been live streaming. They've been activists. They've been meeting with senators. They've been meeting with council members. I mean, they have just set up these marches. They are promoting peace. They are just incredible people, and I want everyone to know who they are and follow them because they seriously have been doing such a good job, and they're fucking tired, man. There's a chant, they're like, we're not tired. I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna be a little honest though. I'm a little fucking tired today. I've been out here for 9 hours. Like, everyone's getting a little fucking tired. And, you know, they're really promoting people to go home, take care of yourself. If you can't be here all day, every day, it's okay. There are people out here that do. And when those people out here need to go home and take care of their selves, more people will come in and hold down the fucking fort, because we have to take care of ourselves if we're going to be out here. This is only the fucking beginning, people. You got to take care of yourself. I mean, not even to mention the PTSD that's coming from all these things flying at us. I mean, take care of yourself. Get a therapist. Talk to people. Talk to your friends. Vent about all this shit, because it feels so much fucking better when it comes out. It's really intense. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of heart. There's a lot of pain. Take care of yourself. Take fucking care of yourself. Okay, I'm gonna shout out some people that I think have just been doing some awesome ass work. Sorry, I'm getting on my Instagram. Okay. I don't remember his last name. Sorry, buddy. But his name is Jason. I met him, I think, one of the first days that I protested. He has been meeting with council members. He's really been an activist for the community. He actually goes around in the mornings and picks up trash in the community and really helps to revamp the community. He's been a really great leader and voice. His Instagram name is unapologetically.jason. He's all about one team, one voice, and one message. He's been awesome. Let's see. Another person who is out there all day, fucking every day. Oh God, I'm gonna butcher her last name. Her name is Sarah Torani. God, I'm so sorry, Sarah. Okay, but her Instagram, she's constantly posting about where the marches are. She is, every single day, she is promoting peaceful protests. She's out there working hard every fucking day. Her Instagram is Sarah, so it's SARAHTORNIA. She's got all the good shit that's going on in Seattle there. Another awesome person that a bunch of these other activists are really looking up to is Nikita Oliver. She is an artist, an activist. She's an attorney. She's an educator. She's a writer. She has done really, really awesome things activating, standing up for the Black community. Her Instagram is just Nikita Oliver, NIKKITAOLIVER. And I'll put this all in the comments as well. She is honestly fucking awesome. If you're interested in seeing any really awesome, good live footage of everything that's going on in Seattle, Amari, he has also had a lot of fucking awesome media coverage and footage there. He's always at the front lines as well, just documenting everything that's going on. His Instagram is Amarisal. It's OMARISAL. Again, awesome live streams. And then the last person I wanted to put on here is, he's a council member of the Seattle and King County. Jason, unapologetically Jason, actually did a little interview with him. He's been like a really great activist for legislators. And he's, I believe he's a lawyer as well. He started Rising Leaders, Inc. His Instagram is Jermay. It's G-I-R-M-A-Y. And he's also been there activating. I keep saying activating for the people. I don't even know if that's a thing. Activating for all the people. So yeah, as soon as I hear more people, and I'm learning a lot of different people that are out there, there's many more that are doing awesome. If you guys know anyone else, I would love to shout them out on here as well and see, look at their work and figure out what they're doing. Lastly, before I wrap up this podcast, I just want to apologize to all my Black listeners, every Black person that hears this, and just say I'm so sorry that I didn't pay attention, that I didn't know, that I haven't shown up for you in a greater way before this week. I feel guilty seeing everything that's been going on and realizing that you guys have been experiencing this level of injustice for your entire lives, for my entire life. And I've gone through every single day knowing that I have privilege, but not fully, fully understanding what you go through. I'm so sorry that I have not been here actively there for you before this week. I always believed that equality should be happening, and I knew that there was police brutality, but I didn't know how fucking bad it was. And I'm really fucking sorry for not knowing before this and not realizing, because this week has just like made me realize that how terrible this country's been to you, and I'm really fucking sorry. And I'll be there every day that I don't work, because there's kids at the hospital that need me as well, but I will be there every fucking day with new medical equipment, new signs, listening to you, listening to your stories, learning, because I'm fucking damn sure that there's so much fucking more that I need to learn that I don't know right now. And those of you who are listening, please show up. Please show up and listen. I hope everyone stays very, very safe this week. Continues to let their voices be heard and try and stay peaceful, because we cannot lose anyone else to this brutality. Try your best. And if you don't agree with me for staying peaceful, that's okay too. I'll be here listening, trying to help your pain, showing up for you. Stay safe. Have a good week. Keep fucking fighting. Take care of your mental health. I'll see you next time. I just wanted to hop on here for a minute to give you an update on the girl that got a flashbang to the chest. When I originally recorded this episode, it was the day after all of that had happened, and she was still in the hospital at that time. But since I'm releasing this episode about 2 weeks later, I now have been informed that she is out of the hospital. She is okay. She is trying to receive mental health services, besides concussion and a whiplash as well, on top of, I'm sure, her PTSD symptoms that she is experiencing. She is alive and trying to get through and cope and mend this terrible experience, but we still wish her the absolute best, as she has a long journey ahead of her, as these can be very traumatic incidents. But I just want to get on here and tell you that little piece of information that I had. So thank you again for listening to Talk Taboo, and we'll see you next week.